Probably should have mentioned earlier that yesterday was the Convoy of Hope. Hundreds of volunteers, I don't know, 600, 700, 800 volunteers there, I don't know. Many guests came, over 1,000. I don't know exactly what the numbers were. We had volunteers, I think, in almost every section. There were some people in the section where they were washing feet and then giving out shoes. There was people in the prayer tent. There was people in the medical tent. There was people in the food tent. There was people giving out groceries. We had, I'm saying from our church, we had just about every area taken care of pretty much. And just a wonderful day of being able to share the love of Christ with others and share Christ with others and pray with people. It was a really great experience. Maybe next year you'll have an opportunity, if you didn't have one this year, to be a part of that. It was a really good time. Hope you're going to have a good day with the fathers today, whatever you're doing, barbecues, throw a little steak, extra nice steak on for the dads. I want to thank Jet Koontz for bringing his barracuda out there for Father's Day. Thanks, Jet! He's done some great work on that car, and I'm glad we can show it off here at least once a year, right? Father's Day. The name of the title of this message today is How God Grows Us Up. Talking about Father's Day and thinking about how our fathers help us to grow up. Well, how does God grow us up? And we've been kind of in the book of Romans, and I was looking through Romans chapter 7. There's so much you could preach about in Romans chapter 7. But for some reason, I like to think it's from the Lord, I kind of got stuck on verse 4. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Let me read that to you. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law, your old way of life, when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. And as a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When a person belongs to Christ, their old life is, in a sense, put to death, and they have a new life that begins. And before we were in Christ, our mind was centered on our own personal gratification, our own wisdom. We used our own self-determination for the power that we needed to, have results. But when God comes into our life, and Christ becomes the center of our life, God then becomes the center of the power that we need for living, so that we can accomplish the good deeds that He has for us to do. Yet there are too many Christians, it seems to me, whose lives don't look much different than the people who don't have Christ in their lives. Why is that? Paul says in another place in Romans, in Romans chapter 12, he writes this: And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Surrender yourselves completely to God because God has surrendered all of Himself to you. Let your life be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So, the idea here is that there is a pattern that the world follows for life, and there is a pattern that God desires for you. And today I want to talk to you about a specific pattern that God has for our lives, that we might accomplish the results, the good deeds that God has planned for us to accomplish. I heard of a man who was feeling very hopeless. He had dreams all of his life of what he was going to accomplish, and these dreams weren't being realized. And As a result, he was frustrated and he was angry at God. And he found himself saying to God, "You owe me, God. You know, I've given my life for you. You promised me, you made these promises to me. And now they're not happening. I don't understand how you could do this to me. You owe me." And he said at that moment, he sensed God saying to him, "I don't owe you. I own you. I own you." And at that moment, he realized that while he was saying that God, it was all about God, he was living his life in a way that was really all about him. We all have experienced disappointments and loss and brokenness. Perhaps you're feeling that this morning, maybe because of a struggling marriage or a child that's going in the wrong direction. Maybe you're just struggling with some things in your own character. Maybe there's a threat to health or to finances, or just broken dreams. You know, someone wisely said, "Never put a period where God puts a comma." And perhaps today, you know, there's a dream that you had, and you think that God has put a period at the end of that dream. And I want to tell you today, he hasn't put a period at the end of that dream. He's put a comma. But you're wondering, what is God doing? Why aren't these things being realized? But what if, all along, God is at work? What if this powerlessness that you feel is God growing you up? And maybe this powerless thing is a good thing. I know we don't like to be powerless. We want to be in control. We especially want to be able to fulfill our purposes with our own determination and with our own power. We want to accomplish what we want to accomplish. The problem is, you are not God. And you know what's really frustrating? Trying to be God when you don't have the power of God. That's what we try to do. The only power you have, the only power we have, is to fall at the feet of God and depend completely upon Him so that He might reign in you. So perhaps recognizing this powerlessness is the breakthrough that God has been waiting for in your life, that He might build you, start to build you, help you to change and to learn and to grow. So you say, okay, fine, so now what do I do? Well, that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at this pattern that God uses in our life. And I think we see this pattern throughout the Bible in many different people's lives, but I think we might see it most clearly in the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph? If you don't remember Joseph, he was one of 12 brothers. His father is Jacob. He's the great-grandson of Abraham. He grew up hearing the stories of how God interacted in the lives of his relatives, you know, his ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who I say is his father. And so you might say he grew up with religion in his life, somewhat. Now, Joseph was his father's favorite. This didn't go over too well with his other brothers. Matter of fact, they hated him for it. And Joseph really didn't make things much better. It seemed to me that he kind of like, you know, rubbed it in their face that he was the favorite. Joseph would go to work with his brothers, then he'd come back and he'd tell his fathers all the things his brothers did wrong. That didn't go so well for him either, for the brothers. And then one day, his father has a special coat made, a special robe, this beautiful robe made for Joseph. And then to make things even worse, when Joseph was about 17 years old, he has a dream, and very unwisely, he shares this dream with his brothers. Again, I think kind of rub it in their faces. Let's read about it. It's in Genesis chapter 37. It says that one night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were all out in the field tying up our bundles of grain. And suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." And his brothers responded, and they said, "So you think that you're going to be our king? Do you? Is that what you think? Do you actually think that you're going to reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and the way he was talking about them. And soon Joseph had another dream. And again he said to his brothers, he goes to his brothers and he tells them about it. He says, "Listen to this. I had another dream. Not only are you going to bow down before me, but the moon and the sun and the 11 stars bowed low before me." Well, certainly, you know, Joseph had this sense that God's going to do something great in my life. But maybe he thought God was going to make him immediately the head of this family. And he was certain of that, perhaps. But listen, God often takes us in a different direction than we expected. God will keep his promise, but not our timetable. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. God might have made a promise to you. God is going to keep that promise, but not according to your timetable, not according to your game plan, but according to his. And in the case of Joseph, instead of ruling over his brothers, they throw him in a pit. And then they sell him into slavery. Talk about things not turning out the way you expected. See, the problem is that Joseph thought it was all about him. Now, I know you're all, many of you are aware of the end of the story. But don't be tempted to forget or to skip over how Joseph got there. Joseph was sold into slavery. And he must have thought, "That's the end of my dream. I thought that God had given me a promise, but I guess this is the end of it." I mean, no one's going to come looking for him. His father thinks he's dead. His brothers hate him. They wanted to kill him. No one's coming after him. But God never abandoned Joseph. God never abandoned Joseph. And while everything looked wrong to Joseph, everything was right for God. Joseph was beginning a journey that neither he nor anyone else could have expected. And it's all being guided by the hand of God. And Joseph is discovering through this experience a pattern for living that's going to help him for the rest of his life. And he's learning this as he goes along. And this is the pattern that I want to share with you today. The world opposes this pattern, but this is God's pattern of how he grows us up. And the first thing we need to go through is dependence on God. Dependence on God. Joseph was learning dependence on God the moment he found himself in that pit. I mean, what do you think Joseph did when he was in that pit? I bet you he was praying. I would. Wouldn't you? We'd pray, right? He's in this pit. I wonder if the last words that he heard from his brothers was, "Let's see what's going to happen to those dreams of yours now." He's down in that pit. He must have wept. He must have felt anger. He must have felt hopelessness. He must have felt helpless. He must have been shocked. He must have been confused. He must have prayed. Had to. Joseph lost everything that he depended on to realize his dreams. everything he depended on to realize and to accomplish his dreams. But God was with Joseph. When we are in the pits of life, and God is not coming to our rescue the way we're expecting him to, and we wonder, what is God doing? You may even think that he left you. He's abandoned you. Remember that. God was with Joseph, and he is still with you. God is teaching Joseph how to depend on God for his dream and not on himself. It's the most important, and it's the most difficult lesson to learn, to depend upon God. You know, in the world, we grow up learning to be more independent, right? We teach our children to be less dependent on us and more independent. But in the spiritual life, it's just the opposite. In the spiritual life, we're learning to become more and more dependent on God. We start out far away from God, and then we receive Christ, and we receive a new life. It's a spiritual life that we receive from God through Christ. And the rest of the journey is learning how to become more and more dependent on God. Everything that you experience in your life is for the purpose of teaching you to be more and more dependent on God. I know someone who had said that he had gone through such difficult things in life. And he said that the thing he learned was, trust God, period. And he used to write that. Before he would sign his name to any kind of papers or anything, he would say trust, he'd write out period. Trust God, period, and he'd sign his name. That's what God is trying to teach us. And so the start of this growing process is to depend on God, to rely completely upon God. Spiritual growth is the process of moving from independence to dependence. Learning to become dependent on God, our Father in heaven. But then Joseph's journey continues, and it reveals the next part of God's pattern for spiritual growth, and that is the quality of our character within. We have to win the battle of our character within. The greatest battles that you face are not the ones around you, they're the ones within you. And Joseph, he ends up in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was a military leader. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of influence. Let's read about this. It's in Genesis 39. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and so he succeeded. He's starting to learn as he's depending on God. You know, he's starting to, you know, get in better relationship with people. He gets hired by Potiphar, and then he's accomplishing what God wants him to accomplish. So he says, it says here that he was succeeding in everything he did, and so he served in the home of this Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed, and he realized that the Lord was with Joseph, so he gives him success in everything, and that God was giving him success in everything he did. And this pleased Potiphar, so soon he made Joseph his personal attendant, and he put Joseph in charge of his entire household, and everything that Potiphar owned, he put in charge of Joseph. So things are starting to look up for Joseph. And then a new trial comes. A new temptation comes. Potiphar, his boss, the boss's wife, propositions Joseph. Now you got to understand something. Joseph at this time is either in his late teens or his early 20s. Hormones are like going crazy. And you have to realize as well that Potiphar, being a very influential, affluent, powerful man, I'm sure that his wife was very beautiful. the way it goes in the world. So Joseph's got to be thinking, hey, why not? Why not? My brothers betray me. My father thinks I'm dead. My dreams are all dead. Certainly God understands my natural needs and what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. My natural desires. He wants me to be happy, doesn't he? And after all I've been through, don't I deserve for something good to happen to me? Don't I deserve some satisfaction? So why not? And so Joseph is faced with making a decision. Would he depend on God and honor those values that God is teaching him? Or would he seize the moment? Well, Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, leaving a coat behind, his coat behind. And so through this dependence on God, God begins to form Joseph's character. And by this dependence on God, Joseph finds the ability, the power to withstand and pass this test of his character. And in that moment, Joseph recognized that sleeping with Potiphar's wife would be more than a betrayal against his boss. It would be more than a lapse in judgment. It would be a sin against the God that he had learned to rely on. And he wouldn't do it. You see, Joseph was no longer chasing dreams. Joseph was chasing the God of his dreams and depending upon him. And so through the difficult situations that we go through, God is offering us a chance to grow. But we have to hold on to our heart of purity. We have to let go of our ego, even if it means living in obscurity. And we have to let God help us to address the insecurities of our life. These are the kinds of things that God wants to come about in our lives. These are the kinds of things he's developing in us through trials and struggles. And it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because God does love you. A very wise man said this, Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 11 and 12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So although we don't always understand what's happening, you can be confident of this. God is forming Christ in you. So embrace the process. Win the battles. Depend on God. So that we can move on in this process. And the next part of this process is developing a positive relationship with people. You depend on God. God's going to first have you start to deal with yourself. Things that you have to change within you, that you might love others better. Joseph didn't have a very good track record with this when he was younger. He certainly didn't get along with his brothers. I mean, he treated them so badly, they wanted to kill him. And you have to wonder that if he had problems with his brothers, I wonder what his servants thought about him. I wonder how he treated his servants. If he didn't treat his brothers well, how did he treat... I mean, he came from probably a rich family that had servants. I wonder how he treated them. And now he finds himself going from being a favorite son to a servant. And maybe one time, you know, Joseph thought who he was, you know, and all this favor and blessing that he had in his life. Maybe he thought that gave him permission to think less of others, to value himself highly, more highly than others. And maybe when there were servants, he just ignored them, didn't even think about them. Walk right by them. Now he's the ignored servant. People are walking by him. Don't you think that's got to transform his thinking? Don't you think he's got to look at that and God used that to make him think about how he treated his own servants? And don't you think God then is teaching him that God did not love and value Joseph's brothers and servants less than Joseph? D.L. Moody once said this: Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning to be a nobody. He spent his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Through sorrow and struggles and pits and prisons, Joseph was developing compassion for people. God was using it to teach Joseph how to treat people better than he had treated them in the past, and to care about others. God was allowing this to happen by putting Joseph on the same level as servants and prisoners, people he probably looked down on at one time. Only by depending upon God and developing a godly character do we have the power to love others well. And that's what Joseph was learning. But God wasn't done with Joseph yet. To complete this process, fourth thing is getting results. Joseph was going to fulfill the purpose that God had for his life. The thing that God had created him to do. And we see it again and again in the story of Joseph, where we read that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. I mean, if you're going to be a slave, be the best slave you could be. That's what Joseph was learning. He wasn't competent at the age of 17 to fulfill that dream. And so it took some time. Actually, it took 13 years preparing Joseph for the work that God had for him to do, to fulfill that dream. Joseph wasn't just passing time during that development. It was all for a purpose. He was learning that only with God's help can he accomplish anything of value. And so now we have the entire pattern, this entire spiritual journey, developing a dependence on God, then developing a character, your character within, then developing a better love for others that you might fulfill the purposes God has for your life. And in the end, Joseph saves not only his family, but he saves the whole nation of Israel, and perhaps saves even the world. That's what God uses him to do. And this pattern that we see in Joseph's life, if you look throughout the Bible, you don't see it just in Joseph's life. You'll see it in David's life. You'll see it in Daniel's life. You'll see it in Peter's life. You'll see it in Paul's life. And you must see that pattern in your life. You may be expecting God to make life easier, but you need to get a sense that God wants to grow you up to make your life better. You have to follow his pattern. Now, where I saw some of this shared, it said to, it used the illustration of baseball to kind of help us understand this. Think of the baseball diamond. My baseball diamond up there. There it is. A little foggy, but good. Home is dependence on God. That's where we start, right? That's where you come up to bat. That's where it all starts. You got to come up to dependence on God. If you hit the ball, where do you go? First base. Who's on first? Character. That's next in this process. After first base, you have second base, and second base is people, community with others.
And you're around second.
The coach is telling you to come towards third. And third is accomplishing God's purposes. Getting results. In order for you to be safe, you have to run those bases in the right order. Because sometimes, you know, in the world, we don't follow this order. Sometimes in the world, we go to... What happened to my diamond? Put my diamond back. There you go. Sometimes in the world, we start with results. We don't even start with God, right? The world doesn't even start with God. They go right to results. Now, you ask somebody to tell you who they are, and they tell you what they do. They'll tell you about their career. I'm not saying career is not important. I'm just saying that can't be the beginning. We are a performance-driven society. And that's the pattern. That pattern in the world is so ingrained in us, we think it's the right way. We even do the same things and not even realize that it's not God's pattern. And we neglect the pattern that God has for us. Sometimes, you know, even if we're Christians, we might start with dependence, but we might try to go to results first. Accomplishing things. Or sometimes we might even try to run to second first. I'll work on relationships first. Again, relationships are important. Career is important. But not, you can't put them first before God. God is always first. Some people want to work on their character and not work on the other things and not, you know, we don't run around the bases the right way. And you can't score if you don't run around the bases the right way. You know, when you're a little kid and you're playing and if you ever go to a little league game and you see a kid hits a ball and then the kid runs to third, it's very cute. But if that happened in a major league game, you wouldn't think it was very cute. You might think you're watching the Mets, but you wouldn't think it was very cute. And if you don't run the bases in the right order, what happens? You're out. You're out. If you're going to score, you have to run the bases in the proper sequence, and you have to touch all of the bases if you're going to score. And just like in baseball, if you're going to score, you don't stay on third, right? You come back home. Because it always comes back to God. God is the one who's going to receive the glory. It always comes back to God. And so the thing is this. Surrender to God. Completely, you have to be completely dependent upon God. I trust in God, period. If you trust in God, God's going to start to have you deal with your character. There's things that needs to be changed within. And as you're changing yourself, that's going to give you more of a love for others. And when that process is happening, you're going to start seeing God work in your life. And you're going to come back. And you're going to give God all the glory. As God gives you a life of fullness. Let's pray together. Just want to give you a moment to just be alone with God. And God can say things to your heart a lot clearer and better than I can. So just be still in the Lord's presence. Let Him speak to you. And as He's bringing things up to you, maybe you need to speak back to Him. Confirm certain things and surrender certain things. Give yourself more to the Lord. Thank you. If you would please stand with me. I want to pray for you this morning. There may be someone here this morning who hasn't even stepped up to the plate yet. There's someone here who hasn't really put their dependence upon God. God will be faithful to show you that you need to depend on Him. I want to give you an opportunity today to say, yes, Lord, I know I need you in my life. I know, Lord, that I have to surrender my life to you. I know, Lord, that I have to trust you more. I know, Lord, that I have to be dependent upon you. And if you have any questions about any of that, if you want to pray with someone about that, certainly if you want to make your way towards the front here, there'll be people who will come and speak to you, and they'll help you with knowing how to do that better. And they'll pray with you. If you want them to pray with you, they'll pray with you. And so as I pray this morning, if you want to make your way up, just as a way of asking someone to help you, or if you just want to come up and be by yourself up here to pray someplace, you know, we even have a prayer room to your right. And if you want to go in there and be alone and pray, you don't want someone to pray with you, you want to pray by yourself, you could do that too. What I am saying is don't leave here today having not made a choice, a decision, that, Lord, I want to have you in my life. I want to depend on you for the things that I'm facing. Because there's things that I'm facing that are just too difficult for me to face on my own. And that might be the prayer of others, even though you haven't. You know you're depending on God. Maybe you're just not depending on Him enough. I don't know. I don't know where you are in this cycle, this pattern that God is working in your life. I don't know if God wants you to work more on your own life. I don't know if He wants you to work more on loving others. I don't really know. God wants to talk with you and deal with you. And if you need a place to pray or someone to pray with, again, we are glad to meet with you and pray with you if that's what you want. Almighty God, we want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. I thank you, Lord, for showing us just how much we need you. Sometimes, Lord, we have to be down in the pits, Lord, to know how much we need you. Lord, we're acknowledging today we need you. We need you. I need you. And I need to learn how to be more and more dependent upon you. Lord, I pray that you would show us the things in our life that you want to work on. The battles within. How we need to love others better. Or the work that you want to complete through us. Lord, we're open to whatever you want to do. May it be according to your timetable. According to your will, we're depending upon you. We want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone today who just needs to say, Lord, forgive me for anything I've done wrong. Come into my life. Help me, Lord, I need you. Lord, may they receive you today. The power that you bring and the life that you bring. Lord, we thank you again for the dads. We thank you for those who will be celebrating today. And may they have a good time as they get together with family. I know that there's some of us, Lord, who have lost our dads in one way or another. I'm thankful, Lord, that you are our comfort. You are our strength. You fulfill everything that even our earthly dads can't fulfill. Only in you do we have the things that we really need. We thank you. So I pray, Lord, your blessing upon each and every dad who's here today, each and every person that's here today, each and every family that's represented here today. I pray that your blessing would pour out upon us, O God. And I pray, Lord, that this week we would walk with you and trust in you and follow you, stay connected to you, chase after you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. We love you. Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a great week.